Okay, brothers, sisters, comrades and friends. Ooh, a noisy chair. Welcome once again to Bat Country. Today's topic is one of nuance. I'm talking about a very narrow, often overlooked, but crucially important element of alcohol withdrawal. Knowledge of this phenomenon and what it means for you can make or break your recovery. Today, we're talking about the kindling effect. So what is kindling? Kindling is the name given to the phenomenon in which the symptoms of alcohol withdrawal become exponentially more severe every time a person experiences them. That is known as the kindling effect. The tendency for your symptoms of withdrawal to be worse every time you go through withdrawal. It's a little known but clinically proven fact that alcohol withdrawal has a compounding effect. That is to say, it's worse every time, and every time it takes less alcohol to trigger more severe symptoms. The more you do it, the harder it gets, and the more likely it becomes that it's going to happen again and again and again. And that's because one of the byproducts of repeated acute alcohol withdrawal is, frankly, brain damage. In particular, repeated cycles of withdrawal can affect the centers of your brain responsible for decision making, for impulse control, for behavior regulation. What that adds up to is the more you relapse, the more likely you become to relapse again. It's a vicious cycle. We'll talk about the likelihood of relapse in a little bit more detail and what it means for you in just a moment. But first, I found it useful to understand where the term kindling itself came from. This chair is really noisy. I'm sorry about that. Look at it. Look at it. Everything is creaky. A little like me. So why kindling? Why that word? Well, the kindling effect was first described in 1967 by a neuroscientist by the name of Graham Goddard. He was working out of Halifax in Nova Scotia, of all places, so I imagine there isn't a great deal to do there, apart from studying people who are drinking too much, I suppose. If I remember correctly, that's where Robin Williams had his relapse. That's morbid. Now, as is the case with a lot of research into psychiatric medication, there is, unfortunately, a lot of ethically dubious animal research involved. Goddard's area of focus was the neurobiology involved with the learning process. He wanted to understand how we learn, how we acquire patterns of behavior. In one series of tests, he electrically stimulated, for lack of a better word, various regions of rats' brains. To observe the effects on their ability to learn tasks, to learn procedurally. What he learned was there was a kind of threshold. The amount of stimulation required to induce a seizure in these rats changed with time. And that's an unexpected and surprising finding. Over time, with daily applications of this stimulation, the rats began having seizures at apparently lower and lower amounts of stimulation, electrical stimulation in their brains. Over time, it required less and less stimulation to induce seizure until eventually no stimulation at all was required to induce seizures in this test group of rats. What he had done accidentally was create epileptic rats. Congratulations. Yay, science. That's according to Goddard's report as covered in psychcentral.com. It's one of the few resources to have any real detail available about this stuff. He had created epileptic rats. That is to say, small intermittent stimulation of the rats' brains over time sensitized their brains until their brains responded by lowering the threshold required to induce a seizure in them. Does that make sense? And from that research, we developed the theory of kindling, which is now used quite broadly in psychiatry. He referred to the effect as kindling very literally for the meaning of that term. The word kindling implies, for example, a large, heavy log won't burn effectively unless you can start the fire using twigs and leaves, kindling. The kindling effect then is a progressive accumulation of factors that enable a major problem. It's an underlying series of factors that then enable a larger issue. And while this particular phenomenon, the kindling effect, is also applicable to bipolar disorder, benzodiazepine abuse, depression and epilepsy itself, it has particular relevance when it comes to alcohol withdrawal. This fucking chair, honestly. The way I think about it is this. My own framework for interpreting it sounds like this. Have you heard of zombie fires? A zombie fire, or a holdover fire, refers to a kind of wildfire that persists over winter. It's where a fire can continue to smolder under the snow and the ice or the tundra, waiting for summer to return, where it can then unleash itself and become a major disaster. It's happening in Canada right now, which is why it's on my mind, and which is why it's such a good model for this kindling effect. What happens is that the fire continues to burn on a very small scale, under the ground, under the surface. And then once the snow has melted, the ground has dried, then the fire reignites on a larger scale, over and over again. The fire keeps burning underground, unseen, until some kind of trigger causes it to become a widespread conflagration. In my metaphorical withdrawal model, the smoldering zombie fire is brain damage. The tundra, or the surface of the ground, is sobriety. Things look normal. You might not know there is a risk beneath. The trigger then is alcohol, and the conflagration is all of the symptoms of alcohol abuse and then the withdrawal and everything that goes with it. It's quite a neat model. The implication is that the damage from this cycle never fully goes away, and in fact spreads and gets worse every time the cycle is repeated. Okay, so buckle up for some science. So we've established that alcohol kindling is the name given to the cumulative damage done over multiple instances of alcohol use and withdrawal. And as a byproduct of that, the symptoms of withdrawal are more severe every time due to the damage done in previous instances. It can be represented like this graph, which is taken from Howard Becker's 1998 paper, Kindling in Alcohol Withdrawal. As you can see, the peaks become higher with every cycle of relapse. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's the withdrawal itself that seems to be the problem, that seems to be the destructive factor, rather than the intake of alcohol itself. What's doing the damage, according to this model, the kindling effect, is the withdrawal from alcohol. Episodic drinkers or binge drinkers, the kinds like me who don't drink regularly, have long periods of abstinence, but then every now and then just lock ourselves away, close the curtains, and drink hard liquor straight from the bottle for periods of 2 weeks or more. People like us are particularly at risk to the kindling effect, more so than habitual drinkers who drink lower amounts over longer periods. It's the cycle of abstinence and heavy drinking, The transitional withdrawal period is what is contributing to the kindling effect. And that is the nature and the insipid danger of kindling. The more it happens, the more likely it is to happen. That's because the cycle of chronic alcohol use followed by repeated periods of withdrawal, it causes changes in our central nervous system. Those changes do lasting damage to our brains in particular. Our bodies adapt to the presence of alcohol by compensating for the effect of alcohol on our central nervous systems. Alcohol has a largely suppressing effect on our nervous system, so that adaptation process involves several neurobiological mechanisms to increase the excitability of our neurons. It's known as hyperexcitability. Our brains are trying to compensate for the suppressive effects of alcohol by hyperexciting our neurological activity. In other words, our brains start working overtime to balance the sedative effect of alcohol. Remove the alcohol and it snaps back like an elastic band. Suddenly our brains can no longer cope. Our central nervous system goes into panic mode. That hyperexcitability in withdrawal, well, it can cause us to go a little crazy. Me, anyway. And if your drinking pattern is anything like mine, which is to say episodic with long periods of abstinence, then it leaves just a little bit more damage behind every time we experience this neurological hyperexcitability. Once our bodies have acclimatized to the consumption of very high levels of this toxin, alcohol, and then the alcohol is suddenly removed, our brains are unable to balance our own neurochemistry. Your central nervous system goes into emergency, you will experience panic, insomnia, and in the worst cases, as I've experienced, terrifying hallucinations, and in some cases, seizures or convulsions. That state of delusional thinking, hallucinations, hallucinosis, delirium, delirium tremens, and seizures and convulsions, they can be fatal. A lot of people die. Somewhere between day 2 and day 4 since your last drink, you might develop delirium tremens. I have a number of times. And that involves sudden, severe confusion, delirium, and highly delusional thinking. So delusional, you might act on your delusions, hence the inherent danger. You will have extreme fatigue, but also extreme insomnia. There is no respite. Any micro sleep that you manage to get will be interrupted by nightmares and sleep apnea. You will wake up from moments of fleeting sleep, gasping for breath like there is someone standing on your chest. It's enough to make you forego sleep entirely. You won't eat and you won't shit for days. Delirium tremens itself, the most severe part of acute withdrawal syndrome, can last a week, maybe two, but then the ongoing withdrawal process, it can last months. Months of poor memory, confusion, delusional thinking, paranoia. And what makes kindling so dangerous is that it's always there, just beneath the surface, ready to ignite itself again and devastate your life. Given the slightest opportunity, the moment you let it in, it is ready to spread itself into a major conflagration, put you straight back in hospital. I need a coffee. Ooh. My God, that's good. Okay, so what does this all mean in real terms? Well, according to the biggest proponent of the kindling effect in modern psychiatry, Robert Post of the George Washington University, what it means is that the more severe withdrawal episodes you have, the more likely you are to experience them again, and the worse they will be, and the less it will require to trigger them. That has been exactly my experience. While there is still some academic skepticism about the nature and the causes of the kindling effect, and not every patient seems to experience it, and even the same patient can experience it in different ways, there are variations. I know that it is true for me, from first-hand experience. In fact, I'm living it right now, every day I have this hanging over me. In fact, the kindling effect might be even more nefarious and sneaky than we know. There's some research to suggest that there's a kind of conditioning at play, that repeated cycles of alcohol use and detox can lead to a kind of conditioning, which leads you to associate the feeling of detox with the desire to drink. I'm kind of stunned by this, because when I read it in a medical paper in preparation for this video, it spoke to me so personally. What it means is that it's possible that the environment in which you've experienced multiple detoxes might be a trigger for relapse. As strange as it sounds, let me explain. I'll put it again in more real and tangible terms from my own experience. I've detoxed several times in a terrible, awful psychiatric ward here in Berlin, a place called Bodelschwing. It's a terrible place, horrible, deeply, deeply wounding and traumatic. It's, in fact, famously horrible. It's a famously dark and scary place where even the doctors work in this kind of shift rotation to make sure they're not on the ward for more than a few days at a time, because it is a troubling experience to be there. It's where they put people in detox, people like me, and other people experiencing drug detoxes. But it's also where the police just dump people who are not stable enough or safe to go to jail. So there's a mix of people just going through withdrawal, but also violent, delusional, dangerous, potentially dangerous and potentially criminal people just thrown together. And yet, despite this unanimously horrific, traumatic experience, every time I've been there, and it's several times now, I sometimes find that I miss it. I miss the psych ward, and it's not a rational emotion. I miss it. I've never told anyone that before. In fact, I've never even said it out loud until now. But my memory of detoxing and withdrawing in that hellhole is enough to trigger an alcohol craving. Doesn't make sense. Now, if you've been through the relapse cycle yourself and you find yourself thinking fondly of a place associated with a difficult withdrawal or a difficult detox, that's kindling. That is the kindling effect. And what you're actually experiencing is an alcohol craving in disguise. It is an incredibly insipid disease. While the research into kindling, the kindling effect, is ongoing, it has already led to a lot of medical professionals changing their strategies for treating acute withdrawal syndrome and similar maladies. They've begun treating them automatically, very aggressively, very early, regardless of your perceived symptoms in the moment. If you present yourself with withdrawal symptoms, you will be treated very aggressively. That is to say, you'll be immediately medicated with quite powerful, usually benzodiazepines, and some other anti-anxiety medications. They will go in hard straight away. And that's because they're not just treating your current symptoms. They're not just treating with the symptoms that you present right in front of them. They're anticipating future symptoms too. Robert Post, that I mentioned earlier, he himself believes that early and aggressive treatment is very necessary, because the implication of the kindling effect is that left untreated, it will progress inexorably, unstoppably, until it kills you. Post says that that doesn't need to be the case. His presupposition is that if you treat withdrawal early and aggressively, it can be stopped, and the kindling effect can be limited in its effect with subsequent withdrawals. And that's just another reason why, if you're going through withdrawal or you're planning to go through it, go and get medical professional help. Due to the high rate of relapse amongst people with alcohol use disorders, professionals don't treat your withdrawal as an isolated event. Instead, they tend to see one person's withdrawal as part of a much longer term illness. And what they're attempting to do is treat the whole thing, to make it easier the next time, which they anticipate will happen. So that's the kindling effect. That is kindling. For me personally, I find the medical research to be true. It is true of my experience with withdrawal. For me, it gets worse and it gets harder every time. But it's not just true from anecdotal evidence and experience like mine. It's increasingly being borne out by the body of evidence, by the research and by studies into this subject. I think I may have run the risk of encouraging people to not sober up. That's a scary thought for me. It's not my intention. I mentioned earlier that it's the withdrawal that does the damage. The implication of that is by not sobering up, you limit the amount of damage being done. And it is true that binge drinkers or episodic drinkers are more susceptible to this kind of damage. The intermittent drinking has a worse effect on your cognitive capabilities than uninterrupted drinking. But it's not a reason to stay in the bottle. I am of the opinion that withdrawal and sobriety in general is easier, not harder, if you know how difficult it is up front. I believe that a bracing truth is more beneficial than a comforting lie. And I think it is useful to know that the process we're going through is a very difficult one. Withdrawal is hard. It is unpleasant. It can even be life-threatening. I think you deserve to know that in advance. Because once you know what you're up against, once you know the shape of your enemy and what you can expect, the easier it is to fight against. That's my experience anyway. I'll see you next time.